The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Huddle on Money FM 89.3. And of course, we are heading into the first day of 2020 with a couple of headlines that might drive markets today. First, Singapore's fourth quarter GDP that has come in at 0.8%, slightly higher than the revised 0.7% in the third quarter. And we have the US-China trade deal, phase one, being signed on January the 15th. And of course, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un also in the news, warning of shocking action and a new strategic weapon. To help us get a bigger picture, we've got Pang Jingyi. She is the market strategist at IG. Morning, Jingyi. How was your break yesterday?
Morning, Ryan. It's, great and nice fireworks. So looking forward to a great 2020.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Jingyi. We've been talking about green shoots quite a bit in the past few weeks. And today we had a bit of, I guess, good data, if you look at it from a certain angle. Singapore's fourth quarter GDP, 0.8%. We saw services helping to offset manufacturing, which was declining. So looking at 2019, we saw the economy grew 0.7%, which is slower than 2018's 3.1%. So overall, on a yearly basis, it's slower. But on a quarterly basis, there seems to be a bit of a slight pickup. Jingyi, when you look at these numbers, do you get enough confidence that things are on track for recovery in 2020? Are we, you know, out of the woods in terms of where the economy is going?
Well, so Ryan, I think generally the expectations for 2020 is going to be a slight recovery from what we have seen last year, and I can say that now. So really, I think, you know, when we look at what we had in 2018 itself, that over 3% growth is really quite a phenomenal one to look at. And therefore, you know, when we have a year-on-year comparison, I'm not surprised that we're seeing a little bit of a bleaker reading of 0.8, and also for the full year itself coming through at 0.7%. But of course, I think, you know, as we move into a new year, there are likelihood that we'll see each of the sectors, well, at least for services, expected to really maintain that kind of performance. Manufacturing evidently seen that full year, the decline of 1.5%, but into the new year itself, expectations, even from, well, private economies, is that we will see a slight, well, increase on a year-on-year basis itself. So I think that's something that we are going to look for. And of course, with that US-China trade really setting off a bit of a positive sentiment, we're going to see that translates to business confidence and likewise demand as well, moving into the new year. Construction, I think that's also one that I think very held up for the fourth quarter itself and to the new year. Expectations also for more of this public sector construction items, including some of the terminal, public infrastructure that's going to be expected. So I think on that end itself altogether, we are looking perhaps for a better 2020, but of course a lot hinges on some of the event risks as well, including US-China trade you talked about.
Jean, when you talk about a better 2020, if I look at the stock market, STI for 2019 was up 5%. If you look at it versus other markets, Hang Seng was up 9%. The S&P 500 in the US was up nearly 30%. So going by the latest numbers, are we looking at a better performance in 2020 for the STI?
Yeah, well, so right now I would say that for a lot of the Asian indices, we did find a bit of a lag, well, compared to our US counterparts. And I think on that end itself, it's also got to do a lot with some of the issues that really plagues the region. We see a lot of these other counterparts, such as South Korea, Thailand, these are the regions itself, really affected by trade as well, such as Singapore. So in that sense, I think there is a bit of a concern there within the market itself. But I think, you know, having stepped into 2020 with the expectations that at least on the US-China trade front, we could be seeing things at least improve a little bit. that I think, you know, set us off. Of course, you know, if things turn all right, we'll once again as well be on the bit of a risk. But as far as what we have with the information we have on hand, I think it's going to help lead us to a little bit of a better year. I think generally for investors as well, hunting for returns, the likes of US market also likewise look overvalued compared to here in Singapore, and even for the likes of other regions in Asia. So I think in that sense, we could see a little bit more interest coming back to this region as we go into the new year.
Hey, Jingyi, we are, of course, looking at a couple of things driving the headlines today. We have the triple R cut. So the other thing also potentially driving sentiment is the US-China trade deal, phase one, being signed on January the 15th. So when you look at these headlines and how we are setting up for today, what type of market movements and session are you looking out for? What's the significance of the triple R cut and how much optimism is being baked in into phase one?
Well, Ryan, I would say so far what you have just mentioned as well, if the ASX trading flat, we could be seeing a bit of a sluggish return from the markets just after the New Year's Day itself and after the long break for everybody. I'm not even surprised if we don't see the market really trading up to its usual volume, given that, you know, this is coming towards to the weekend as well. But I know really with the news itself, I think it's continuing to shape for a little bit of a positivity to start the year off. The China triple R cut evidently is one, I think, targeting to see some of the smaller, last one, medium banks to actually help with the businesses. And I think, you know, the smaller businesses seen in the PMI data earlier part in this week itself is really ones that really need some of this aid from the government. Mm-hmm. It also comes ahead of the long Lunar New Year holiday. So I think this is actually timely to see a bit more liquidity in the market. But of course, I think, you know, once again, bringing back the point that I think the economies, the private sector analysts generally have been expecting more of these triple R cuts and also perhaps later the long prime rate, their benchmark rate cut as well. So I think it's not going to come out as too much of a surprise, but nevertheless be a support for the market. In terms of the news of the signing itself, I think that's really, you know, baked in pretty much in the market. But I think in terms of the details, we're still perhaps lacking a bit of more confidence on this coming through. That kind of rhetoric, I think, is going to be needed to keep the markets going in January. But so far, I think, you know, what we have on hand, as said, this information itself is rather positive for the risk assets. So equities, these are the ones I was to continue to be looking at into January itself. And of course, not to forget US earnings season is going to come through week month itself. So altogether, things to keep us really waiting for.
Yeah, something to look out for also this morning will be the PMI numbers from China. We are looking out for a reading of 51.8. So that will be steady from the previous reading. So something to look out for in the morning. And just to wrap things up, Jingyi, we've got North Korean leader Kim Jong-un warning of shocking action and a new strategic weapon. Do you know what it is? And is this going to be a good week for gold on the back of all these, you know, uncertainty being created by him?
So, well, Ryan, I'm not sure if anybody knows what's the new surprise that the North Korean leader is going to bring. And I think, you know, for what this itself really played to for the market is in terms of how it affects risk sentiment. What I'm looking at, of course, Japanese market is closed, but the dollar yen itself really is trading a little bit, pretty much unchanged. 108.70 levels is what I last seen it at through the new year. In fact, that itself actually is slightly higher. So, well, I think the market itself so far isn't giving this too much of a weight. And then really just based on even before the signing itself in terms of memorandum, I think we've seen the market growing a little bit desensitized to what the North Korean messages itself have been coming through. So it's unclear, but there's a likelihood that we could be seeing this really just be a bit of a positioning from the North Korean leader. So I think we haven't so far seen the market respond. And I wouldn't be surprised unless something happens, this continues to be the tone itself as well.
All right, I've been chatting with Pan Jingyi. She is the market strategist at IG. Jingyi, thank you so much for your time today and have a great day ahead.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.